You know, worshiping God is about giving Him all glory and all honor. It's about becoming like what we worship. Do you know you become like what you worship? I'm not going to fool with that. But you know, it's also a declaration of what we believe. Yeah. Amen? Amen? When we say sin is broken, we are declaring the victory of God. We are declaring before the heavens and before the earth, before every power and principality, sin is broken. And that gives glory to God.
Amen.
Right? We are standing in what God has purchased for us. And that is one of the highest praises we can give God. Is to say, yes, God, I believe. And I declare today, sin is broken.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I've been in too many foreign countries recently. I think I keep saying amen, and that's what you do. Sorry, but you're going to have to help me.
Amen.
There we go. All right. So, Colleen, thanks. Good word. Good word. Well, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you had a great spring break. I know many of you had small children at home. I'm glad you survived. My small children are big children. And so I didn't have too many of them at home this week. Just one, and he's there all the time, and he's my delight. My Isaac, he is my promise child.
Amen.
And he is my laughter child. Yeah. And he is my delight. So, but you don't need to know that story right now. That's for another Sunday. Sometimes when he's not sitting in the back blushing. So let's pray before we open the Word of God together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day that you have made. Father, I thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that Jesus is the door with which we go through to gain access to your throne. That we can come to Almighty Father through Jesus. Today, Lord, I ask you that you would take this word, that you would impart it to our hearts, that you would transform our minds, that you would minister healing,
yeah,
encouragement,
yes, Lord,
strength,
yes,
and blessing to your people. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would pour forth your love into our hearts today.
Yes,
that your perfect will would be accomplished by your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I forgot you were there. I opened my... Oh, yeah, this is where we're at. Sorry.
That's awesome.
Oh, people. So sorry. Too much coffee. All right. Hey, well, last week was Easter. I hope you had a great week. And you know, I want to take you back to where the disciples were last week. Last week was Easter for them. Hey, and Jesus was resurrected, right? And so many of the disciples got to see Jesus last week.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? As they saw Jesus and they saw the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, the title today I'm going to be working from is The In-Between Time. Preparing for what's next. And, you know, they had this kind of funky time. Jesus said, I want you to stay in the city and wait until the power comes from on high. When he met the disciples after the resurrection, he met with them and he said, I am risen. It's me. And the disciples rejoiced that Jesus was alive. But, you know, there was this time after that, before the Pentecost, which we'll be stepping into a series in Acts in the next week, and it'll last for some time, but there was this time, this period of about a week or so, that they just kind of lingered. And I'm going to call that the in-between time. And it was kind of a funky time.
Yeah.
You know, time when they saw Jesus periodically. Time where they just kind of hung out. Have you ever had those times? Kind of those in-between times?
Yes.
Those transition times? Those times where, you know, things were going along great. And you knew good things were coming. But you kind of just got stuck in this in-between time. This time of not really knowing what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
And it was kind of awkward. And I think that's kind of where the disciples were. And we're going to read some of the scriptures in that. We're going to start in John 20, actually. And I'm going to look at this scripture, and we're going to talk about some tools to successfully navigate during these in-between times. We're going to start with John 20, starting in verse 24. And I'm just going to read a section of scripture here to you, and then we're going to kind of discuss how Jesus kind of helped them navigate in this in-between time. Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Jesus had come and he had met with a group of disciples. He had just kind of appeared one day in their group. And he had met with them and said, "Hey, I'm risen." But you know, Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas, it says, "The other disciples therefore were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But Thomas," he said to them, "unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And it says, "After 8 days, again his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in their midst. And he said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here your fingers and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'
Amen."
Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe." I love this. I love that Jesus came back for Thomas. You know, he had already met with the rest of the disciples. But Jesus came back for Thomas. Sometimes in this in-between time, we find ourselves doubting. Doubting that what Jesus has done for us is real. Doubting that Jesus sees us. You know, maybe he saw everybody else. Maybe he loved everybody else enough to show up. But not me. But Jesus came back for Thomas. And he said, "Reach here. Put your fingers here." But you know, sometimes this isn't deep enough. He said, reach in a little bit further. Reach here. Because sometimes doubt and disbelief goes pretty deep.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to reach a little bit further. Sometimes it's not just on the surface. Sometimes we have to go pretty deep. God knows the core of our disbelief and our doubt. He says, reach deeper. Reach deeper. Then he said, Jesus says, "Be not unbelieving, but believing. Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who do not see and yet believe."
Amen.
What does the Bible say? The Bible says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Right? The conviction of things not seen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith is anchored in one place and one place alone. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Our faith is not anchored on what we see around us. Our faith is not anchored on what we feel. Our faith is anchored only on the Word of God. Only on the Word of God. Our hope is anchored only on the Word of God. Amen. When our eyes start shifting to something else, we will always be disappointed and disillusioned. Always. It may work for a little while, but it will never last. I'm going to do something today that I usually will not do. I'm going to take a big risk. I'm going to share with you today my testimony of the last 8 years. And the reason I don't usually share my testimony, it's not because I'm a chicken, although sometimes I'm a chicken. But I usually don't share my testimony because it involves my family, and I don't ever want to bring dishonor to my family. I don't ever want them to feel threatened or like judged. I have a beautiful family. I am married. I've been married for, I think it'll be 28 years this year. It's a long time. And some of you know my story. But there's a good handful in here that do not. I was married 28 years ago to a wonderful Christian man. I married him because he is a great guy. And he loved the Lord. He loved the Word of God. Knew His Word quite well. And that's what first drew me to Him. And I have 4 children. 23, 21, 18, and Isaac, 13. And 8 years ago, my husband decided he no longer believed in God. And so he walked away from the church and walked away from God. And that radically changed a lot of things for me. That changed the fact that when I come into church every Sunday, I come by myself. Many people think I'm a single woman. And quite frankly, I get treated like a single woman quite often. It totally changed my social life, because this is my social life. This is where I live. It changed a lot of things at home. It changed how I'm treated, how I'm respected. My husband is a wonderful man, and he takes good care of me. He loves me. He respects me. He doesn't necessarily respect a whole lot of what I believe, which, you know, when I'm running hard after the things of the Lord, you know, that's hard, that's a hard balance to keep, you know. But he honors me in that, you know. But it's changed a lot for my children, too. When you raise children up in the things of the Lord and then... your husband no longer believes that way, it makes a battle for your children as well. And you see your children change and what they believe. And the struggle there, which brings a lot of heartache to a mama. But let me tell you, God knows how to train up a warrior.
Yes, He does.
And God is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful. And so when I say that our faith rests on nothing but the Word of God, and our hope lies on nothing but the Word of God, and that everything else will disappoint, I know that everything else will disappoint, but that you can always stand on the Word of God. See, God is not a man that He would lie.
That's right.
And His promises are true.
That's right.
They are yes in Christ Jesus and amen.
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 And so, the Word of God says in Matthew 7, as we've touched this scripture even a couple weeks ago, "Therefore anyone," Jesus speaking, "who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we must build our house, our life, upon everything and act upon everything the Word of God says. Not just to hear it. We're not just hearers, but we are doers of the Word of God. Because that's how life is sustained, and that's how it's held firm. Only upon the Word of God.
Amen.
So, you will always hear me speak about the promises of God because that's where my eyes are fixed. That's where my hope is secured, is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because faith cannot be on what I see. When I see things at home that like my heart goes, I have to quickly make sure that my eyes go back to the Word of God and the promises of God.
That's right.
Because that is my sure foundation.
That's right.
You know what? I was working in the house yesterday, and all of a sudden this phrase came through my mind. I've heard it before. That the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
That's right.
The devil is a liar. And we have to be reminded of that because we cannot give in to the lies of the enemy. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the truth.
That's right.
He is not a truth. He is the truth.
That's right.
Right? So fix your eyes on Jesus, the truth. And when that enemy comes in with the lie,
that's right.
Right? So Jesus knew that doubt would be a big thing in this in-between season. In this in-between time. So if you find yourself in an in-between time, kick the doubt out.
Amen.
Right? The disbelief out. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. Stand firm upon the Word of God. Amen? Let's go to the next scripture. So we go on in chapter 21 and it says, Chris needs a drink. He says, "After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus," Thomas again, "and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We will also come with you.' And they went out and they got in their boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. They cast therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. How far are we going? Through 9. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciple came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and the fish placed on it and bread. Oh, and we're going a little further. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish and 153. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that this was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Wow. You know, two common temptations when we are in this in-between time. Number one, to return to what we used to know. You know, when we are kind of lost, wondering, well, what do we do now? What's next? Sometimes we'll just return to what we used to know. Jesus found Simon Peter and the disciples. In Mark 1, we read, he found them fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And what did he say to them? Come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And here they are just kind of in this in-between time. And what do they say? Well, let's go fishing. Sometimes the temptation is just when you don't know what else to do, just return to what you used to know.
Yeah.
I love this guy. You are awesome. I don't know what your name is. I'm Chris. I think you're awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, but you're a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
They just returned to what they used to know. It was easy.
Yeah.
It was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't threatening. Another temptation. They just hang out the gone fishing sign. I'm going fishing. You ever get to that place where it's just kind of not working out for you? Maybe you're discouraged. You know, things used to be great. Yeah, maybe good things are coming. But, you know, this is just really kind of crummy right here. I'm discouraged. I'm weary. I want you to think about where Peter was at this time. We'll go more into that in a couple minutes. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're feeling a little hopeless at this point. Maybe you've been in this battle. Boy, let me tell you, in the last 8 years, I have had to fight off discouragement, disappointment, frustration, weariness. Every time I walk into that bedroom and see another book on the floor, 20 reasons why not to believe in God. And I'm not mocking that. There's a struggle and a battle going on. But when that book comes off the floor and it comes to a teaching point with one of my children, then Mama gets mad. I understand. It's a battle. And that's okay. God has good things in store for my family. God loves every single one of those people. And He loves my husband greatly. That's why there's a battle going on. And I love my husband greatly. But let me tell you, God has had to teach me how to completely love my husband completely different than I ever have before. And God has done the work in here, not me. And I have many, 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 many times come close to hanging up that sign, gone fishing. Especially at the beginning. I'm just checking out of here. I'm just checking out of here. And many times, I'm just going back to what I used to know. And that's a working of the flesh. That's a, just let me fix this. I know how to do this. I know how to throw a pole, what do you call it? Fishing line. Trust me, I know how to do this. I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. I'll just read another book. I'll just go to another conference. I know how to fix this. I've seen this done before. Let me just get my hands on this. Especially as women, we're fixers. Well, men are too. Just a different kind of fixing. Women just do it better. No, I'm kidding. So we're tempted to work it out in the flesh. Try it on our own. Or just check out completely. But that isn't good enough. Jesus said, He said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Why did he say that? I mean, why would they even record that in Scripture? Jesus could have said, Joe, just cast it on the other side. But he didn't. He said, cast it on the right side. Because that's where the fish were. I like that. I like that. You thought I couldn't hear that. You're right, because that's where the fish were. So true. But you know, I think the right side in Scripture has to do with power and authority. The right side has to do with power and authority in the kingdom of God. And we don't do anything successfully in the kingdom of God without His power and authority. Otherwise, it's just a working of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Jesus says something interesting. He says, come and have breakfast with me. Come. Come and eat. There are a couple of things I want to point out here first. It says in verse number 7, that disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said to Peter. Don't you just love that about John? That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved. I want you to catch this. Wouldn't you love to identify yourself? Think of how totally convinced John was as he wrote this. That he identified himself completely through the book of John as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Through the book of John. He was so convinced that that was his identity. He called himself that. That disciple whom Jesus loved. He just didn't think it. He lived it. He wrote it. Grab hold of that for yourself. You are the disciple that Jesus loved. Don't let somebody else tell you that. Don't let me speak that over you, although it's true. Grab hold of it for yourself so it becomes your identity. Even the other disciples recognized it of John. Grab hold of that identity for yourself. That Jesus so loves you that that becomes your identity. That becomes who you are. What's that song, Good, Good Father? Says, and that is who I am. And that is who I am, the one that Jesus loves. And that is who I am.
Amen.
That is who I am.
That's right.
The one that Jesus loves. The other thing I want you to catch in that verse is, it is the Lord, he said. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and threw himself into the sea. Look at that complete, immediate, total abandonment.
Yeah.
Just immediately. He whips his clothes on and jumps out of the boat and heads over to Jesus. He's not like, oh, you really think so? Oh, wow, I can't wait till we get there. I wonder if he has some fish ready. I'm hungry. You know, I mean, he's not like, no, he is like spontaneously out of the boat and on the beach.
Yeah.
That's the way I want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
The moment I have a hint of the presence of God, I am there. I mean, the moment, I'm not even waiting till that long.
Right.
That I am so abandoned in worship. I am so abandoned in seeking God. Have you ever just been sitting somewhere and all of a sudden you just feel a stirring? I want to be totally abandoned to that. What is it? Sometimes I'll be working in the kitchen and I'll feel something and I'll just stop and go look out the window. Where is it? What is it? What are you saying? Where's the wind blowing? Where's the sun? Where's the light? Where's the sun shining? What's it saying? What is it, Father? Sometimes I'm sitting at my desk and I feel the stirring. It's just like, it's nothing major. It's not like, oh, here it is, you know. No, it's just the littlest of something. What are you saying? Total abandonment to the hunger of Jesus Christ. I love how Peter just leaps out of the boat. He had a thing with water. You know, I don't know. It was Peter's thing. I have a thing with, I don't know, what other things. But. So come and have breakfast, Jesus says. All things are Jesus. It's in him we live and move and have our being.
That's
right. I said a few minutes ago, it's power and authority. Right? It can't be a working of the flesh. It says, Cast your net on the right side. Cast it into my power and my authority. All things have to be about Jesus. To survive in any time, the in-between time or any time, everything has to be about Jesus. It's all Jesus.
Amen.
It's all his initiating. He's the one inviting. We don't initiate. We think we do sometimes, but we don't. It's all his power and authority. He's the one that sends the fish.
That's right.
It's all about Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus.
That's right.
And it's all for Jesus' glory. We must be constantly feeding on everything that Jesus has. We must be meditating on Jesus constantly, beholding his abundant glory. Anything that Jesus has, we need. We should want. We should be eating from. And we need that constant feeding from Jesus to be fishers. Then, one last section of scripture I want to cover with you here. Let's read verses 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I want to look at John 13 real quick. I think I have that on a slide. No, I don't. I wasn't that thought out. Do you remember that it was Peter who betrayed Jesus three times, right? And what I really want you to catch here is the love of Jesus. Simon Peter, when he was sitting with Jesus and the other disciples at the Last Supper before Jesus was crucified, Jesus is talking to them about what's about to happen. And he's saying, I want you to I want you to love one another. I'm giving you a new commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And Simon, and he's telling him, I'm going to go, but later I'll come back. And Simon Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him and he said, where I go, you can't follow me, but you shall follow later. And Peter says to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answers and he says, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you have denied me three times. And then he goes on and he immediately says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we see Simon Peter saying, where are you going? I'll follow you. I will even die for you. And Jesus says, oh, will you really die for me? And he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going away, and when I go away, I am preparing a place for you. And then I'll come back. Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him, right? And here we see in chapter 21, we see this love exchange. We see Jesus wash over Peter with his love. And three times he asked him, do you love me? Just like three times Peter betrayed Jesus. And we know that there are two different, I know many of you have heard, there are two different words here that he uses for love. He uses the word agape, which means that sacrificial love, that I will die for you love. And he uses the word phileo. And those are that, what was that?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. That common interest love. Brotherly love. So Jesus starts with, Simon, son of John, do you sacrificially, will you die for me, love, more than any of these? And he said to him, Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, but he answers, Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I brotherly love you. You know that I share common interest with you. Jesus said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Jesus says to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape love me? Will you lay down your life for me? And Peter answers, he says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, love you. Shepherd my sheep, Jesus answered. Do you see the imbalance there? Jesus says again, a third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Phileo, love me. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. See, Jesus knew that Peter would betray him, right? Jesus asked three times, just like he was betrayed three times. I love how Jesus meets Peter right where he's at. He holds a high standard. But Jesus knew all along what was in the heart of Peter. He wasn't asking for an answer that he didn't already have. He was asking so that Peter could reveal his own answer. So that Peter could hear for himself where his own heart was. And then so he could hear for himself where Jesus would meet him. And it was okay with Jesus to meet him right at the same place. See, Jesus doesn't look. For complete maturity at the very beginning. Jesus looks for a willing heart. There is a difference between rebellion and immaturity. And Peter wasn't rebellious. He was just simply immature in his love, but sincere and willing. And Jesus looks at a willing heart and rejoices. And I want some of you, I want you to listen closely. I want all of you to listen closely. But for some of you, this will be a key to release shame. Just like it was for Peter. See, there are four reasons that we are lovely to God. That's not four reasons that God loves us. I couldn't explain that. But four reasons that we are lovely to God. See, our loveliness is found in the gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus. We wear, if we are saved, we wear the righteousness of Christ on us as a clothing. And that makes us lovely before God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore we are lovely before God. At our new birth in God, He has put His Spirit in us. And that is a yes spirit before God. Our spirit can now say yes. It is a willing spirit before God. Before we are saved, our spirit isn't enmity with God. We cannot please God. But now that we are saved and have been made a new creation, we have God's Spirit within us, and we can please God. We have a willingness of heart to please God, and that makes us lovely before God. Our loveliness is based on God's feeling towards us. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Things look differently to God than to man. For God looks at the heart and man looks at the outside. And you may say to yourself, yeah, but you don't know my heart. God knows the heart. The heart above all things is deceitful. But if you have Christ Jesus in you and His Spirit dwells within you, God knows your heart even better than you do. Therefore, you are lovely before God. Final reason that you are lovely before God is because He sees you as the eternal bride of Christ. He doesn't look at you as a finished product right here, right now. He sees you as the eternal bride of Christ, what you will be. Therefore, same with Peter, God knew his loveliness was now in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That he had a yes spirit, a willing spirit. God, he was lovely to God because his eye, he saw, God saw him as beautiful. Remember, we aren't beautiful before God because we look upon ourselves and see beauty. It's because God sees beauty within us. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And God sees us as God saw Peter, as the bride of Christ. God looks for a heart that delights to do His will, not our fleshly obedience. Do you see the difference? For the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So Jesus said to his disciples, pray that you not fall into temptation. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Doesn't mean, so we pray. We say, God, make my flesh strong. Make me strong that I would not fall into temptation. Because my spirit is willing. Peter had a willing spirit. God sees a willing heart. As he saw Peter's willing heart. He goes on in verse 18 and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now he said this, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. See, God knew that although Peter wasn't mature in his love at that point, in that agape love, that he would be someday. And eventually, Peter would lay down and sacrifice his life for Christ. Because he loved him so. Have you ever been in that place where you thought, I just don't love God enough? I just don't measure up. I don't love God as much as Colleen does. You know, she's a hard one to measure up to. Don't try to measure up to other people, by the way.
That's right.
I'm not preaching that one.
That's right.
It's okay. To not be completely mature yet. In the in-between times, we grow. Take the grace of God upon you. Know that He loves you wherever you're at. Christ is in the in-between times. In the in-between times is where we grow in the grace of God because you are lovely to Him. Do not let shame have a hold on you.
That's right.
Christ did not come and shame Peter for denying him three times. No. I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? I love you, Peter. Do you love me? Three times. That was Jesus' way of affirming his love over Peter three times. It was okay that he was immature. It's okay that we grow in the in-between times. It's okay that we grow all the time. We don't have to have it all together. Did you know that? We don't have to have it all together, believe me. I don't have it all together. You know that I don't stand up here because I have it all together? Do you know that's not why they let me stand? I don't know why they let me stand here. I really don't know, but it's not because I have it all together. It's not because I have all the answers, not because I had it all figured out. There's grace, 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 grace. Conclusion. Jesus says, now that, and when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. I love that he started in Mark 1 with Peter in a fishing boat, and he says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And he ends up here at the very last, and he says, follow me. Here's Peter in a fishing boat, and he says, follow me. It's the same story. I love it. I love it. Do I have anything important written down? No. I can remember sitting on the curb as a little kid. I was probably 5 years old. We lived in a cul-de-sac, and I'm sitting on the curb. And I'm thinking about inviting my next-door neighbor, who's probably, I don't even know how much older that she was than I was. Maybe 5 years older, I don't know. Thinking, how am I going to invite her to Vacation Bible School? How am I going to invite her to Vacation Bible School? Because it's really important to me that Lenny knows Jesus. It's really important. She has to know Jesus. She has to know Jesus. I felt from a very young age Jesus saying, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And that followed me through a lot of life, in different places at different times. That desire. I had the opportunity about 2 weeks ago to go to the Philippines, just out of the blue. I'd been praying and seeking the Lord a lot since the beginning of the year, kind of a mini in-between time. In the midst of an in-between time. You do get out of them. I know you do. But I had been seeking the Lord. God, I know what you've promised in my walk with you. You've promised to make me a fisher of men. You have promised that I will see many, 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 many people come to know you. You have promised that my feet will be on paths all over the world. You have promised, and I just have been praying and seeking the Lord. But you've said to wait, you've said to wait, you've said to wait. And all of a sudden, I found myself with the opportunity to go to the Philippines. And it wasn't the trip beyond all trips. It was just another trip. But I found myself walking one day, a Friday afternoon, in the hot sunshine, which I absolutely love, on this mountain path, this little dirt mountain path. And I was reminded of the promises of God. My feet would be on the path. That I would see many come to know him. That I would be in different places all over. And I began calling out those promises as I was walking on that path. And he said, see, see, see. As I walked on that path, and that evening I was at a crusade in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I was on this mountain path, and you'd look up into the mountains, and there'd be a little hut there, and a little hut there way out in the distance, and a little hut way over there, and you'd turn around, and all of a sudden you're walking by a little hut, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. And I was just like, I just love this. I just love this. It was like, you couldn't put me anywhere else in the world, and I wouldn't love it anymore. It was amazing. And I just kind of felt like Peter. See, I promised long ago, come and follow me. And here I am at the end of John. And you still say, follow me. The promise is true. You've been through all of that. And since you were that little kid sitting on the on the curb in the cul-de-sac, to now, when I'm no longer a little kid, and your feet are on the path, and you're doing what I've called you to do, and my promise is still true, and the word is still true, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. God is true. His promises are true, even in the in-between time. But we cannot doubt. We cannot be any longer unbelieving, but believing. We do that by standing on the Word of God. So if there's things you've been doubting, promises you've been doubting, I encourage you today to stand upon the Word of God. Everything else will disappoint. Everything else. And it's not like there haven't been opposition in between. But he's taken that little kid from that curb and put her on a mountainside in the Philippines. I don't know how he did it. And not that she's some great thing. Just that God is faithful over his word.
Amen.
That's right.
So God is faithful, but you can't be unbelieving. And you can't take time to hang your sign and say, I'm just checking out. Or I'm just going to make this work on my own, because you know what? I could never make that work on my own. It has to be only by the power and authority of Jesus, because it's all about him. So if you find that you've been trying to make things work on your own and it's just not coming together, submit it to him. Submit it to him. And he will make his promises come true. Because he is faithful over his word to perform it. Right? And if you think that you screwed up and it's just not going to ever happen, accept the grace and the love of Jesus. Boy, I've screwed up plenty of times. Regardless, there is always grace. He looks at us as lovely, as desirable. Bask yourself in the identity of the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let that become your identity. Not even the missionary, not even the little kid, not even the fisherman. Let your identity be the one whom Jesus loved. Let that be who you are known for. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I gotta let you go. Isaac's panicking. I'm over. Okay, let me pray. Seal up this word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I ask that you seal it upon our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness over it. In Jesus' mighty name, bless your people as they go. Thank you, Father. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.